This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
All right, welcome to episode 29 of the Polykill Podcast, a Thanksgiving episode. We're right here around Thanksgiving season.
Indeed we are.
Time for giving the thanks.
Yes, sir.
So thank you for joining us here on this episode. Mm-hmm. As always, I'm Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames.
And I'm Jake. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMcAxel.
And together, united as one, we are at Polykill.
Polykill.
Let's kick it off, man.
Let's do it.
What's on the radar?
One thing, one small thing. Actually, it's huge at the same time. One game for me in late November, and by late, I mean anything after the 15th. It's kind of slim, really.
Yeah.
I looked at the list, and I was like, huh.
Yeah, I thought that there would just be more stuff around the holidays.
Yeah.
Is this an atypical year?
It seems it. Mm. It seems it to me. I think most of the big stuff kind of came out September, October.
Seems that way. Especially and, October was kind of hot with the big ones.
Very was. Very much so. Very was. That doesn't make sense. But yeah, Pokemon Sun and Moon, November 18th, 3DS exclusive, obviously the two different versions as they always do, but it's GameStop's biggest selling game of the year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, most amount of pre-orders and most amount of sales.
I wonder why that is.
Already. I wonder why. Might be a little thing called Pokemon Go.
Yeah. So do you think Pokemania is...
I think it's back. I think it's here... I think it's here to stay again.
It's interesting because you know there's blockbuster titles
all
throughout the year for especially major companies, which would have not included Nintendo in what I was going to say, but between the two big sluggers, Xbox and PS4, blockbusters throughout the year, you would think one of them would have would land the blow.
I think the thing about Pokemon is it appeals to the youth and it appeals to adults for nostalgic purposes.
Sure.
And so you kind of get in that crossover that you don't get with, I mean, now we're kind of the point with Call of Duty where it's like, do you remember playing Modern Warfare 2 10 years ago? And it was like, I remember that. But like Pokemon goes back a lot further. So
sure it does, yeah.
I think it pulls on those heartstrings a little bit. And, you know, families playing Pokemon Go together, you know, now they are like, oh, what's this? You know, blah,
sure.
blah, blah. So I'm assuming that's what a lot of it is. But the most interesting thing to me is how many 3DS units there are in the wild versus how many PS4/Xbox units.
There's a lot of 3DSs out there, evidently.
There's a lot, but I wouldn't think there'd be enough systems out there to have a, you know.
Well, I think.
It's weird.
I think maybe think about a family with multiple children. That family probably has one PS4, maybe two or three.
PSs. Yeah, that's
so true. I think that might be that could make up the slack.
And it's probably going to go even bigger because Black Friday, Nintendo's selling a 3DS with a Mario game for $99.
Wow, that's a good deal.
New 3DS, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, speaking of Black Friday deals, that's where my two on-the-radar games come from because these games are out.
Right. Ones we've discussed.
Yeah, well, we've discussed them, and they're out. They're out recently, so it's not like you know.
Right, they're years old.
Right, so that's why I think these are great deals. One is the Batman Telltale series. I think you can get the whole thing with the Xbox. I haven't looked at any other platform, but it looks like about $15.
Yeah,
I think it's like 14 or so for episodes 2 through 5, the season pass.
Right,
and then the first episode's like 75 cents, if not free. So that's a great deal because it just came out, and it's Telltale, and it's already getting good reviews. And then XCOM 2, which been out on PC for a while, like we talked about, but just recently moved over to consoles, and you can find it $30 to $35, depending on where you look for Black Friday. Definitely a game I'm going to be getting. I'll probably get it digitally. That's where it's most expensive. Ironically, it's $38 or so there, but looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Yep. So big release reaction.
Okay, we got a few to go through here.
A bevy of sequels.
Yeah. Well, that's the life these days.
Just, just a coincidence. But you're definitely going to talk heavily about one, so we'll save it for last. I'll just throw that Dishonored 2 and Watch Dogs 2, both getting great.
They are.
Great, acclaim.
They are.
Good to see.
8s and 9s all around for both of them. I think Watch Dogs 2 is selling significantly less than Watch Dogs 1 did at launch, which, no surprise, people weren't going to get burnt twice on that.
Yeah.
Kind of a wait and see type deal.
But I think the same thing with the game you're about to talk about. I think, if it's good enough, it will it will prevail and people will end up hearing that it's good and buying it.
I think so too. And that's are we ready to move on to that?
Sure,
one?
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
I don't remember how much in detail we discussed about it last time, if any.
Not a ton, other than you were interested in getting it.
Yeah, and I did get it, and I did play through the campaign, which was something that was lacking from the first in the series. No real campaign.
Sure.
There was like a story, but it was basically told through asynchronous multiplayer matches, so it didn't make any sense. But this is just a an honest to goodness single player campaign. It's not selling terribly well, which makes me sad.
Right.
But critical darling, people love this game. Reviewers like the game, and people that I kind of follow their opinions, they're all hugely on board with this game.
A lot of people are saying they like it.
Yeah, and it's on sale Black Friday too. It's usually in the $35 to $40 range right now.
Did it release at 60?
Yeah, it released at 60.
So it dropped quickly.
Huh. I think standard list price is still 60. I don't think it's been dropped across the board, but it is selling pretty cheap. Hopefully that means people jump in there and pick it up, especially seeing all these, positive press, free DLC for the life of the game, etc. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I love this game. I really, really, really love this game. I haven't played through Doom yet, single player campaign.
You should.
I'm going to. That's, I looked last night to see if I could squeak that in before this episode, but I'm not nearly as far along as I even thought I was. So I just checked level.
Oh yeah, what level
descriptions? I'm like, oh shit. I guess I'll just wait.
Were you about halfway through the game?
Less.
Oh wow. So yeah. You got a lot of fun to go.
Yeah, I got a lot of fun to go. But other than that, being a contender, I really think story-wise Titanfall 2 is my favorite thing that I played this year. And it's not because it's so deep and engrossing and dark and gritty and realistic and emotional. It's just because it's just fun, just out and out fun. It knows what it is. It's not tongue-in-cheek, but it also knows what it does well and just runs with it.
That's really cool.
Awesome multiplayer too. So
you're urging the folks to get it?
Get it. Please get it and play with me.
Yes. Nice.
Yes.
Cool. So that was that's the games that we're looking forward to, and one that you've actually already put a little time into.
Oh yeah.
What happened the last time we got together?
Let's check on that.
Previously on Polykill, the fellas sabotage each other's show notes and end up adding Skyrim jobs, Titanfall 2, and Jistical Ninjas starring gonads to their backlogs. Trav once again knocks out a bevy of NES titles while Jake couldn't beat water with a pool noodle. They put a little more time into Mafia 3 and Gears 4 for their long plays. Voice actors and voice characters are highlighted in the face of a looming voice actor strike for the topic of disgust.
All right, so games that we've added to the backlog.
The backlog, right. Right, now this is something that I am notorious for doing.
You went deep.
And once again, didn't disappoint in the last 2 weeks. But I have some good excuses for it.
Well, why don't you throw a few out?
Well, a few out that I will throw. Now, these are Black Friday deals, early Black Friday deals.
Yeah.
Today is Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Black Wednesday deals.
And yeah, in a way, PSN's got their sale going on. Xbox Live Store's got their sale going on. And Amazon's starting to do some stuff. So I got some cool stuff.
Before too long, Black Friday is going to be like a month long.
I hope it is. So people not have to rush
the economy might tank, but hellfire.
Yeah, whatever. As long as people aren't getting trampled for TVs. Mad Max, this is a game that you really wanted, basically at the start of the podcast. You were on fire about it.
I was. I'd just seen that movie, and I was still rock hard in the pants.
Yeah, in the groinal region. And you played through it, and you liked it. You had some complaints, but you thought it was a good game.
I started out, I loved the first 15 hours, and then after that, it got a little trite. But
yeah.
It's solid.
PSN had it for $7 or $8, $7.99, so snag that.
I don't think that's a bad deal at all. Yeah. I think you'll enjoy, if you don't complete the campaign, I think whatever time you spend in that world, especially if you love the movie, you'll have some fun in there.
Oh, yeah.
You have $8 worth of fun for sure.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was at with it. I got the Telltale Game of Thrones series, and that was $4.
Okay.
So for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's one that I haven't really gotten through the show, I don't want to dip into.
Yeah. And same here. And I don't know how much crossover there is,
but at the same time, the characters are in there though.
I do know that. I don't know if it takes place at the same time as the show or if it's before or after. I have no idea what timeline.
I've stayed away from it.
Yeah, completely. Likewise.
Yeah,
but I do have that in my pocket for whenever I do decide to catch up. So sure. It's like four bucks for a whole Telltale game? Yes. You don't say no.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I didn't already have it, but the Tales from the Borderlands, $1.50 for the whole thing.
Huh.
I was like, ah.
What a deal.
Yeah. Buy Damn. That, please. And then I got one called Virginia. Now, this is one that is a fairly recent release. It's an indie adventure. It's sort of along the lines of like a Twin Peaks kind of thing.
Hmm.
It's pretty polarizing. Some people think it's a great game. Some people think it's abysmal, which is kind of interesting because usually there's some kind of consensus on this style of game.
What is the game about? How does it?
There's no dialogue in the game. So that, from my understanding, I read that somewhere.
There's a lot of games without dialogue. That's
right. But it's like some sort of creepy, he plays like an FBI agent.
Okay.
And doing some kind of investigation. So it seems to be pretty unique. And it was on sale on Xbox for $6. So
okay,
I snagged that.
Not bad.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm getting stuff really cheap. So yeah. That's why I don't feel bad about buying all these freaking games.
It's not like a Humble Bundle where you get a bunch of shit that you're never going to touch.
Exactly.
Just
it's like,
because
I want these games to begin with. And
I mean, that's why you're adding them to the backlog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One last one that I'll mention because it is kind of in line with the Black Friday stuff that I did. Well, I'll just wait. Never mind. I still have other Black Friday stuff. So go ahead.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Well, on my backlog, nothing having to do with Black Friday at all.
But maybe next episode.
Perhaps. Super Mario RPGesus.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, this is a...
It's a game I've always wanted to play.
Classic.
I snagged it back in the day before. It's a little more expensive now, but I got lucky back when and picked it up, and it's just been sitting on my shelf for a while, and I have this aversion to just jumping into RPGs because
sure.
I'm not good at finishing them.
Mm, we heard
like,
that.
I don't like living with that
because
shame.
We still got, Golden Sun, Dragon Quest VIII, Final Fantasy VII. Yeah.
The list goes on.
It does.
But this one's much more accessible. It's, you know, How Long to Beat says it's about, you know, between 16 and 18 hours, so it's not your 40-hour campaign.
That's good. I mean, it's Nintendo, and they know their audience, so.
Yes, and it's a Nintendo and Square marriage. As far as I know, it might be the only game that they've ever
maybe a
worked on together. Yeah, Square. Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know.
But man, super fun.
Cool.
Really beautiful, really colorful. Really good sense of humor about itself. I feel like a lot of Square's stuff has that kind of same flavor where it's serious, but still some of the characters are a little goofy sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
Because they know that, you know, a lot of kids are going to play it, but
right.
It's got the serious, like, villainous emotional overtone. It has that. It's really good. It has a really cool Easter eggs in it.
Okay.
I woke up in an inn and, like, you know, you go to bed at an inn just like you would in any RPG to, you know, refresh your characters.
Okay.
And I woke up and over in the bed, there's a little guy wearing a green tunic also asleep in a bed next to me.
Oh.
And I went over to push the button to talk to him and it just played the Zelda, like the unlock theme, like the
very nice.
But he doesn't wake up. Like he just like he,
that's cool though.
So just little stuff like that I really enjoy about it. It's really accessible and easy. Like I don't think I'll have, you know, much issue with it, but fun and I'm enjoying it. Toad's Treasure Tracker.
Now, this is one that you tried to track down yourself for a while, hoping for some sort of discount. But
I was very patient. It was already not
$40.
Yeah, it was already like a $40 Wii U game, which is rare enough. But I. You know, just on principle, as I always do, I don't want to pay full price for games. And I pride myself on being patient and playing whatever other games I have until the moment strikes.
Sure.
Well, on Craigslist, somebody posted Kirby's Air Ride, which is a Wii U game, mm-hmm. and Toad's Treasure Tracker for $10 a piece. I said, well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So I meet him over in the McDonald's downtown, and this is the weirdest interaction I've ever had with a dude. I mean, it's not really that weird, but...
Okay.
Like, so I park in the McDonald's parking lot, and... There's like a lot of people out and about.
Okay.
Because it's near a big college campus. And I'm just kind of watching the people like, And I'm expecting someone to pull up in a car because that's how Craigslist works, you know, typically go. But I kind of forgot for a moment that I'm on a college campus and he could approach me from any direction. And so I pick out in the distance. I'd already texted the guy and said I was there. And he goes, be there in a minute. And I was like, okay. So I was like, oh, he'll probably drive up in a car or something. And I just pick a person out just randomly, like really far away. And was just kind of...
Zeroed in on.
And they're running full fucking speed down the sidewalk.
Shit.
Just like late for church or something. I don't know. But just booking it. And I was like, oh man, what's this crazy guy doing? Just watching him. And I'm like, oh man, that light's red. He's going, oh God. And he keeps coming, like, oh, he's coming this way. He's holding my game. So, like, it was that dude. Like, I tracked him for, like, 2.5 minutes.
That's
just
hilarious.
Watched this random person run toward me. He got up to me out of breath and didn't say anything, just handed me the games and ripped the 20 out of my hand and fled. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it was weird.
They weren't his games. He stole those.
Probably.
Yeah.
But they are mine now. So, Toad Treasure Tracker. And I would have finished it, actually, before this episode. But I had 3 stages left. I was right there on the soft cusp of completion, of victory.
Sweet gelatinous cusp.
but I didn't actually get around to actually completing it. But I really enjoy it. It's really fun.
Awesome.
And then Advance Wars for Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
You heard of this?
I've heard of this. I know of this. I'm actually going to reference this later.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. It was, again, one of those... of those lists people make that say this is the definitive
play
games
this.
You should play on the Game Boy Advance. That was one of them. I picked it up, played it on a, 18-hour round car trip.
Mm-hmm.
It made that car trip feel like an hour and a half. Like, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
So I've enjoyed that. So I can go into a little more detail about that one specifically later on in the show, because else I wouldn't have anything to talk about besides the list. So you had a few more that you added.
I did, and another Black Friday edition from the Xbox sale this time. That is the Metro series, 2033 and Last Light. The up-resed versions of both of these. Well, at least 2033, I think. Last Light's kind of just a straight port. But both of those for $6. I felt like that was a hell of a deal.
Sure.
I wanted to play both of those. I like a good story-driven, linear, first-person horror shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what this is. And
those things were dark and kind of depressing. I just felt, it's like, is it based in Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based in Russia. It's actually, it's one of the two games that I've played, two game series that are based on novels, actually.
Oh, I didn't know they were based on novels.
Yeah, okay. Russian novels.
Did you say your dad played some of the Metros?
Yeah, he played the first one a bit. I don't know if he ever completed it. But
I found them to be kind of tough, but at the same time, I was just about to get an Xbox One, so I wasn't really...
Yeah, you weren't into it.
Terribly into it, but...
But yeah, I'm excited to play through those, and getting both of them for $6, I mean, hell.
Hell.
Yeah, because it's like $5 for one, $5 for the other, or $6 for both. And I was like...
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Come on.
Good,
come on,
man.
I'm getting that.
Do you think you'll play them?
Yeah. No, I'll definitely play these.
Good?
Yeah, for sure. Mainly just because I'm kind of in that first-person shooter campaign mode right now for some reason.
Yeah.
I think probably Titanfall and Doom have done that to me, where it's like I just like running and gunning.
It feels like a good winter series, too. It's just cold.
Yeah, very cold. Yeah, should be good for some nice winter days. And speaking of winter days, The Division. This is a game that popped out... early this year, I think March, I think I expressed interest in it, played the beta, enjoyed it, but some like launch issues kind of plagued it, and then they did this big revamp. Anyway, one thing leads to another, and I'm like, I still want to play it at some point, but I'm not going to drop a lot of cash on this, whatever. So I get an email. I get an email from IGN. It's like, here's some deals, and $50 off The Division, so $10.
Whoa!
Yeah. So I was like,
whoa.
I'll get that. Yeah. I'll get $10 out of that.
So, now that game, it's been a bit of a roller coaster for those.
It has. Those have stuck with it.
Yeah.
It's been. I think any time you go with one of those MMO style shooters, even though it's not a first person shooter, it's a Clancy game. There seems to be this strong, curve at the start.
I feel like they haven't just quite figured it out for consoles yet. They've not nailed it on
release.
It's like
Destiny went through that, where it's like, we're going to make it this, and then every week it's like, we're going to fix this, going to change that, going to adjust this, tweak that. And it's a cycle that I think fans of shooters or Clancy-style games just aren't used to, but those that play like WoW or Guild Wars or something, you're used to a weekly patch where something gets buffed, something gets nerfed, whatever. I don't think the console base is quite... accustomed to that.
There's something to it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Did you have any more that you added there?
Let's see.
Maybe something about a Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, I did actually. I added 2 more games. Mirror's Edge Catalyst is one that I didn't pay for. It comes with my EA subscription.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I was like, I want to play this because it's probably like a pretty straightforward campaign, no frills. I mean, there's like side quests and bullshit, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But there's no multiplayer component, so it's something I can play through and move on.
Right.
So I got that. And then I got Pokemon Moon.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Well, you still have Pokemon Yellow that you've...
I do, but I think I'm going to stick with this new one. Okay. I think I'm going to strike Yellow from the...
You're going to retire it?
I think so. Mainly because everyone really likes what Pokemon Sun and Moon did for the series in terms of making it more accessible at the start. Eliminating a lot of pointless crap that you have to go through, inventory management or all this stuff where it makes you just get into playing the game rather than management. And I'm down with that.
Down with
because I like the battles. I like the battles and the fights and the trying to catch the shit rather than, well, you need three of these and one of those and you got to make space for that. So you got to store this there. And
right.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that.
Yeah. A lot of RPGs do that too. Yeah. It's a big turn off.
This is a more streamlined and actually has a different kind of story rather than just beating different trainers. You actually have a campaign.
Cool.
So it's something that's beatable, but looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It'll probably take quite a few hours. Those Pokemon games are...
And there's tons of post-game or, game plus stuff too. So
cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Nice, nice, nice.
So yeah, shit ton of games, Jake.
Good job, dude. Jesus. Something that doesn't have a shit ton of games is my list of completed games.
Yeah. So I didn't see any on there.
I know. I tried so hard. Like I said, I was on the mushy cusp of beating Toad's Treasure Tracker. Yeah, which is a pretty short game.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, yeah.
But
Nintendo games in general are kind of short.
Yeah.
And that's a $40 one, so.
Oh, yeah. And I'm right there. If we were to stop this episode and I had an hour, I'd
be
come back with the beating. But, it's fine.
Yeah.
But no,
welcome to my world.
I didn't beat anything. I retired. Maybe I can bring that up. I think I retired Secret of Evermore.
Yeah. You said you were done with that.
Yeah. The game, on top of not being all that fun compared to a lot of really good games in
the
genre.
That was a Square America one?
Square America, the only game they ever made.
And yeah.
And it's also Jeremy Soule's first soundtrack credit. Mm. Again, not that great. it has really poor hit detection. It is one of those action RPGs that you can't continue to strike at your enemy. You have to let your meter build back up before you hit them again.
Mm.
And man, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
And I even use the guide. So what's
right.
that saying?
That's...
I'm just not having fun with it.
Exactly.
And I'm actually at a part where every time I get back to this boss, and if I die, it's 15 or 20 grueling minutes of getting back to it. It's kind of like the Final Fantasy hump that I hit.
Yeah, and honestly, you got plenty of games to play. No need in beating your head against the wall for that one.
Which is why I pulled it out, tossed it across the room, and went and picked up Super Mario RPG because I was like, I'll beat a fucking RPG. Watch.
Yeah.
I'll beat the easiest one probably on the platform.
Bitch.
Just to show them who's boss.
Exactly.
So I didn't beat any games, but man,
I did.
You finally did some stuff.
I did some stuff.
That's great.
I almost got through four. I tried to get through four. I didn't get through four, but I got through three games in the last 2 weeks, and this is impressive for me.
Yes, it is.
I go through the shortest one first, which was Gunman Clive, and this is a 3DS title. I think it may be on PC. Fun little game.
Yeah.
It's like a $3 game, $2-$3 game. Really deep for a $3 game, I felt.
Right.
It's a very simple platformer, but it's very pretty. It's like hand-drawn animation.
You say simple, but you yelled motherfucker a lot up there in the front seat.
I did. There was
while
boss battles.
While I was in the back seat getting dusted with your farts, Gunman Clive was up there giving you a hard time, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. There were definitely moments where I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm pissed at you.
Yeah.
I just
all
like
been
this.
There.
Yeah. It's a monochromatic, so it's like kind of a sepia tone, hand-drawn animation. Actually, really good 3D for 3DS, considering it's like a $3 game.
Right.
You play as this little Western dude that gets these power-ups. I mean, it's like a Contra-style game, I guess is the easiest way to put it. Platforming and jumping, and you level up your guns, and they have different kinds of ammo and et cetera.
So back to something you said, can you usually notice the quality of the 3D based on the... developer or
yeah, there are some people that it's more consistent the experience is more consistent
right
in terms of the whole game is meant to be 3D, and then there's other times where it's like here's a 3D moment where it's like meh.
Probably if they port the game from other
they
might not
if it's developed from ground up as 3DS. I mean obviously Nintendo does a great job with
sure.
And their kind of first and second party teams do amazing 3D stuff. It's actually really impressive, especially because there's classes free. You're like, damn, that's pretty.
Yeah.
But I had fun with it. Yeah, I had fun with it. I mean, it was like, I think maybe an hour and a half total game time, because each level, it tracks how long it took you to beat each level, but it's one of those things you have to put together the perfect run.
Oh, I
see. So it's like...
Is it kind of like a bit trip runner almost? In terms of...
No, okay. Not really. It's more just like an old school NES game where it's,
oh, I see.
You got to get through the level, but you know, it'll take you 30 minutes to figure out how, but 1 minute once you do.
I got you.
New Super Mario Brothers 2. Now, this is one that I brought up a long time ago.
You did.
Before I lost my 3DS, and then it reemerged.
Right. So you did cross something off your existing backlog then.
Yeah, I did.
That's good.
Totally did. And that was pretty fun. I mean, I don't feel like it was the best Mario game I've ever played, obviously, and it wasn't overly deep. Had 6 worlds and a couple of alternate worlds. Very heavy focus on coin collecting. Very heavy focus, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all like that now. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of the loop. But lots and lots of coins, and like you have like this running tally at the bottom of the screen constantly, like whether you're in menus or in the level selection, whatever, how many coins you have.
Oh.
So it's like...
Do you have to have so many coins to access levels and stages?
No. I mean, there is some of that where you have to have like a certain amount of big coins to open alternate paths to get to like a toad house to buy a thing. It was all right.
Oh, okay.
The Bowser battle at the end was pretty sweet. It was a giant-ass Bowser that you had to face.
Yeah. I saw that you
had
a little bit of issue with that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a fun game.
Oh, sure.
Mario game.
Yeah, yeah.
Always enjoyable. But not the greatest thing I've ever played, but...
Fair enough. But hey, man. It was on the backlog. Now it's off the backlog.
Now it's off the backlog.
It's now a reference point for any future Mario game. You can say it was better or worse than New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah. And it's now another dot on the plot.
I like that. That sounds like a good name for like a rap album. Thought on the plot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you...
Maybe.
You know, I don't know.
Sure.
And then you beat the Titanfall.
I did.
Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2. Yeah.
That's great, man. Awesome. Well, if you want great things, then you should contact Calden Technologies.
Yeah, boy.
This episode and all of our episodes previously and... for a few more, are sponsored by Calden Technologies, LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Calden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@calden.tech. That is sales@calden.tech. Got an app you want to build, that app you've always wanted to build, contact Caltech and then be a millionaire.
Exactly.
And then tell all your millionaire friends about Polykill, and then it'll go from there.
Exactly. It will. Go from there. Things will grow.
Exponentially at that point. So,
yes.
You know, our future's in your hands. Contact Caltech.
Yes, we're hungry.
All right. So the long play.
Long blur.
Long. Dude, I'm just going to say Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
I started the campaign with another man.
Traitorous whore.
With another man.
Another man. Jesus.
But you played the first act and...
To be fair, I played the first act too.
So. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I mean, I did.
You two timings? No,
I did it by myself.
Oh, you lonely
yeah.
Sick bastard.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I played the first act good.
I played the prologue and then up to the village thing where you basically set up the faux horde mode.
Yeah.
I didn't get past that. That's as far as I played. I thought up until there was all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's basically just like a tutorial kind of at that point.
Again, man, I still just don't like having robots as enemies. I want more blood. I want more blood.
You'll get blood soon, I'm sure.
I mean,
the game is beautiful. I love the weather effects.
I mean,
it's still Gears, and the mechanics are sound and solid and fundamentally unchanged.
I'm not in love with those new characters yet, those new leads.
It'll take a bit.
I need some drama at some point.
I feel like there's so many parallels between... I read this article. It was Ryan McCaffrey from IGN. It was actually during his review of Gears 4, where he drew an amazing amount of parallels between Gears of War 4 and Star Trek Episode 7. It's like there's a lot of...
Star Trek?
Star Wars. My bad.
Whoa.
Star Wars. I don't know why I was thinking Star Trek. But I feel like J.D. Phoenix is the Luke Skywalker. You know, he's like the vanilla. No one really cares about him. The only reason he's important is because of who his dad was. And he's just kind of going along on this journey of these ragtag group of people that... And he hasn't found his footing yet. So I think as the game goes along... We'll care more about him. But right now, he's just kind of like there for me to superimpose my own feelings on.
Yeah, they just seem like just millennial
kids. Douches.
They just, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not, I liked the ruggedness of the original group, the Coltrane and...
Yeah, the grizzled veterans who had seen some shit. Yeah,
you know, maybe... If, you know, through Gears 5 and through Gears 6, we'll grow with these characters. And that's something I'm looking forward to is the future with them.
Agreed.
Like right now, I'm just getting to know them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't really play Gears for the story explicitly, but it's been one of those games that's had a really good multiplayer and a really good campaign and a really good story. It's been one of those rare gems that just has
pretty decent
everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, keeps giving.
There's that. So what are you playing long term there, buddy?
Well, it's going to be weird, you know, because I bought a shit ton of games lately, and I don't know how it's going to go.
You're not going to focus on one? You're going to...
I think what I'm going to try to do is, you know, I've got a few day break here currently, Thanksgiving, and then in a month or so, you know, I got a longer break, and then I'll be out of school, etc. So I'm basically going to try to set up some targets for games I want to knock out.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
But that being said, there are games I got these new games and I want to play some of them. Some of them I'm not going to. Like Division, I'm not even going to open yet. I'm just going to wait.
Yeah. Just wait till the Division 2 comes out and play that.
Sure. No. No, I'll probably give it some time. But, you know, I want to knock out stuff that's beatable. Like Doom is going to be beatable. Mirror's Edge Catalyst is going to be beatable. Fallout 4, you know, I actually briefly went back and played that for a minute the other day.
Yeah.
I had some fun with it. Actual real fun.
It's
weird.
Nice. Once you get back in and you kind of get over the hump of being like, where the fuck am I?
Why
was
I doing this? Yeah.
It's so much fun again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit.
And then you put it down, but then you have to cross that hurdle again the next time you play it.
And that's the problem. You kind of have to just exist there. Mm-hmm. And like popping in and out, it's too much of an emotional roller coaster.
Kind of is, yeah.
But I'm going to focus on Mirror's Edge Catalyst because I think it's something that I can finish pretty quickly. And it's a game that I wanted to play. And I do like the, first-person parkour, hand-to-hand combat stuff. It's pretty neat.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's very pretty.
Yes.
I've
seen that, yeah. So games on the side, games that aren't our main focus.
Yeah.
But it's the ones we spread our tentacles out upon on occasion.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of mine were ones that I just added to my backlog.
Okay.
Games that I'm kind of giving Dragon Quest a little bit of a break.
Breather?
I didn't pick up NCAA 14 for a couple weeks.
Wow.
Must be over it. The itch must be scratched.
Yeah, football season's kind of winding down.
A little bit.
At least college football.
Secret of Evermore got bounced off my wall because fuck that game so hard.
Right, right.
You know, those are really the games that I was... You know, in Gears, play a little bit of Gears. So I just need some new experiences, some new stuff.
So you're jumping in on the Advance Wars.
Advance Wars, good. Some things I really like about the game. A lot of those like tactical strategy games, I feel like they're very hard to. There's a big learning curve with a lot of them. Like I've played a little bit of Tactics Ogre.
Okay.
And you know, there's a lot going on in that game. Like as colorful and friendly as it seems, like there's a lot underneath. Like if you don't,
yeah.
If you're not used to it, if you haven't played any of its predecessors, just jumping into one, take you a little bit of time. But Advance Wars, like the tutorial in that game and just like how it kind of introduces you to every mechanic kind of slowly, can be a little bit tedious, but I was extremely thankful for it once I got really into it because I was like, okay, now the game is fun. I know what I'm doing.
Here's a situation which I can use this information.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I really have enjoyed it. And I will say for other side quests, I've been trying some other kind of couch co-op games with my nephew.
He comes over.
We well on some Nintendo games from time to time.
Right on.
We've been trying Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project.
Okay.
We've made it to Shredder 2 times with half a life bar left each and die. It's getting personal.
Gotcha.
So that's one we've been working on. NES Turtles 3.
Gotcha.
But as far as side quest goes, that's about where I've been.
Pretty light, yeah.
Yeah, pretty light.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I felt like, for weeks there, like, I didn't touch a game. And you were like, you know, balls deep in
games.
It's
like I was a professional gamer for a while.
It was
I don't even know how it happened.
Yeah, that was weird. And now I feel like the tables turned.
They have a little bit.
It's weird.
It's like
the universe can only give Polykill so much energy for gaming.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's my turn now.
There's been very rarely that we've had an episode where we've both beaten like 9 games each.
Yeah, that's going to happen soon, though.
I hope so.
I think. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so side quests, you know, I'm still poking around occasionally in Skyrim Special Edition. Just loading up on mods and heading out into the tundra slaying shit. It's fun. It's pretty. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat it this time.
Skyrim Judge.
It's not like a huge focus.
Right.
You know, but I am, man, it's pretty, it's fun.
It's all we have for right now, you know, yeah. Scratch that itch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I guess there'll probably be a few other random ones that I'll occasionally turn on. Fallout 4, it's kind of hard to call that a side quest because like we just discussed, it's...
When you make it a side quest, you're doing it...
Yeah, you're doing yourself and it a disservice. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Sun and Moon is going to be that, or I guess specifically Moon is going to be that for me, mainly because it's handheld. Just shut that clamshell and open it 3 days later into the exact same spot. It's perfect for side questing.
So someone who does not Pokemon often, what would be the difference between a Sun and Moon?
Basically, the game is going to be the same. It just takes place in a different 12-hour period, apparently.
So is there any...
Mechanically different?
Is there anything to beating both of them? Would you get a different experience from each, or would it just...
Probably. I really didn't look too deeply into it. I just know that the exclusive Pokemon are there's some exclusive to Sun, some exclusive to Moon.
Well, that would make sense.
You know, it's a chance to make $80 instead of $40.
Yes,
for Nintendo.
Is. Sure.
Smart, though. I mean, they've been doing it forever, so I'm not going to knock it. But, you know, it's a game that's... lives on handheld for a reason. This is because it's great for burst play. You know, right. It's like you can hop in, do some battles, catch a few things, set it down, come back later and do it again.
Sure.
So that'll probably be on my side quest. You know, for a while I was thinking, 3DS, I don't know if I'm going to, just like, I don't play it. I couldn't find it for months and I didn't care. And now that I've got it back, I'm like, I love it.
Yeah, you put in some time.
I did, yeah. So good stuff.
All right, man. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the usual part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the discussions. Yeah, boys.
So we're going to continue our monthly theme of appreciation and thanks.
Yes, sir.
Last time we were talking about voice actors that we really liked.
Yeah.
Partially due to the fact that there is a looming voice actor strike, which I think is full-fledged now.
I think it's on.
I think they're in. They're doing it. It hadn't happened at when we recorded last time. Felt like it was probably going to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talked about some voice actors that we liked, some characters that we liked voiced. And now we're going to extend that on to developers that we like. And not nice. Just the big names, you know. It's everybody. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, it's people appreciate Bethesda and Rockstar and all those companies
right.
enough. You know, and so we...
they get the love, they get the cash.
They do, and I love most of them. There's very few I have any issue with. I just love video games in general. I don't care who makes them.
Right.
But you have kind of inspired me for this because you are a guy that's always very versed in who made your games. I feel like that's something you really pay attention to. And
it
something
is, yeah.
That I didn't give enough focus on for mm-hmm. a while, at least, especially as a young gamer. And I think a lot of younger folks don't care. They
right, yeah. It's, you know, whatever the hot thing is at the moment, you just
sure,
you play it because your friends is or yeah.
The video game people made it. That's all that matters.
Right.
But for me, you know, I've in the last 2 or 3 years, I've really tried to make it an emphasis to know who made my games.
Yeah.
And so that's why I appreciate a lot of these smaller companies that we're about to talk about.
Right on.
That made some of the games that I really, really like.
Yes, sir.
So how many did you come up with?
I got 2, 4, 6.
You got 6. I listed 10. So
to be fair, you stole some that I was going to use. Well, so it's fine. We can.
Sure. When that comes up, we'll just bounce it back and forth.
Yeah, like a ping pong on
like a
table.
Pingy dong pong.
Yes, sir.
I tried to list these out. You want to go ahead and go through the list of ones that are just big and we're not going to talk about?
Yeah.
I'll write them off quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Bethesda, Rockstar, Insomniac, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, Naughty Dog, Konami, Capcom, Valve, Sega, BioWare, Square, Bungie, Bandai, Epic, Mojang, Infinity Ward, Blizzard, Rare, id, and Tecmo.
Yeah.
Those are great companies, make a lot of games I love.
Yes, sir.
I'm already extremely thankful for them because I've given them hundreds of dollars over the years.
Indeed.
But these are some smaller ones that I think everybody should pay attention to.
Right. And they're not... When we say smaller, we don't necessarily mean indie. That might be
that's
the case at times.
Indie. That's right.
But it will be some of those people who are, you know...
I would say lesser known for sure.
Lesser known. And also, at the same time, have more hits than misses.
Yeah.
Because they take their time a little bit more. And they're not being pushed by a publisher necessarily to get stuff out the door.
Yay.
They can... Yeah. Or yeah, Activision, 2K, yeah. Whoever you want to sling under the bus there.
Right.
But they're able to... Either that or the publisher is like completely hands off, like some, right. of the, some of these will be, like that we'll mention. And some of them are indie, that just, you know.
Some of them are indie, sure.
Do their own thing. But
well, I'll go first since I have a couple more.
You do.
Treasure.
Treasure.
Treasure. Treasure is one of those companies that did make a lot of games that I loved back in what we might refer to now as the Dizay.
Yes, the Dizay.
They've existed for a while. They've been around since the early 90s. Of course, they've made one of my all-time favorite games, which is Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely bright and colorful and energetic game for the Sega Genesis. And, of course, they've also made Wario World and Ikaruga. Have you heard of Ikaruga?
I have, yeah.
It's a game that I've been looking for recently.
It's a shmup.
It is, yeah. But it's...
Vertical shmup.
Vertical shmup, yeah. But it kind of has this mechanic of being black and white. So okay. You have to kind of only shoot things that are white for a while and things that are black for a while. A little bit of a mind bender.
I like it.
For a shmup. And then Mischief Makers, which is an N64 title that met some pretty decent acclaim. Of course, they have things like Dynamite Heady, which is a good retro title. Mm-hmm. And a few others. You know, not a lot of American releases.
Okay.
In modern times.
Okay, it's just scary. Ask if they're still around. You know, a lot of the stuff
are still around, but...
still kicking out stuff out east.
Looking at their Wikipedia page, it looks like the last game that they released was in 2011, which was Guardian Heroes. They also did Radiant Silver Gun. But yeah, they've not... You know, maybe they just... maybe just no one knows what they're doing.
Maybe.
So that's it for Treasure, but that's one, you know, if you see Treasure on a retro game, there's a good chance that
it's good.
It's decent.
Yeah.
What about you?
The first one I'm going to mention, I'm just going to go in order. Now, these are not in any specific order of importance, or this is not a ranking. This is just kind of random as I thought of them. My first one is going to be Supergiant Games.
Right.
Now, they are an indie company, but when I say indie, first of all, I'm just going to get this off my chest because this really pisses me off. Indie is not a genre. I see this on the internet all the time. It's like, we've got shooters, we've got RPGs, we've got indies. Now, indie's not a fucking genre. It just drives me crazy, but I'm over it for a minute. Anyway, Supergiant is one of those rare little developers that just puts out insane quality, and I think for two reasons. One is they focus on narrative. And they make the gameplay fit the narrative. That's kind of how they work. They don't like, hey, let's make a cool game where you shoot stuff and figure out how to make a story around it. Right. It's, let's tell a good story. And let's figure out the best way to tell the story. Another thing they focus on a lot is music.
Yes.
They focus on the music a lot. And man, does that pay off. the first game I think that they released that everyone probably knows is Bastion.
Yes.
And this is one of the games that had that sweet narration that...
We talked about last time.
Beautiful art, you know, kind of like that isometric, not really 3D, but kind of had that, I guess, faux 3D effect. Very much a Zelda style game. Their follow up to that was Transistor. And this was a sort of a step up RPG-wise. It was very RPG-driven, lots of skill trees and things like that. Kind of put in this neo-noir futuristic city where you play a singer who had her voice stolen, but the sword that she wields can talk, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Especially if we play on PS4 because PS4 has a speaker in the controller.
Oh, nice.
So the voice of the sword comes out of the controller.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's a neat little mechanic. Once again, huge focus on music. Like, the music is so intertwined to the story in the game that if you listen to the soundtrack, like on Spotify or something, it'll spoil the game for you in parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's so symbiotic.
Wow.
Love that. And beautiful, beautiful game. Amazing artwork and very... Very great game. And their upcoming game, which I haven't seen much on, don't know when it's coming. It'll be done when it's done and ready when it's ready, I guess. But it's going to be called Pyre. And it's a bit of a departure for them. It's not the same style game.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Love Supergiant Games. Check out their stuff.
Cool. One for me that every E3, man, I'm just waiting. And I watch the Sony. Mm-hmm. I watch the Nintendo one. I wait for their Tokyo Game Show. I wait for it all year because I want to hear somebody say out loud on a stage somewhere, Dark Cloud 3. But it hasn't happened. It probably won't happen. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 are two of my favorite games of all time. Dark Cloud 2 was called Dark Chronicle in the East.
Mm-hmm.
But they also developed Dragon Quest VIII,
right,
which was interesting. They've done all of the Professor Layton series, Ni No Kuni, which is hot. I've never played it, but people like it. And Yo-Kai, which is its hot moneymaker right now.
It is.
they're by no means a small company not making any money.
Right. It's just not necessarily a household name.
Not a household name. Sadly. I love me some level 5 stuff. A lot of it, I mean, a lot of the stuff that was released exclusively in Japan and that kind of thing doesn't really hit me in the getting spot, but most of the stuff that I've seen here in the States, I have really enjoyed. They just know the recipe to get me.
Yeah.
So
I really highly recommend Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch. I know you don't have the PS3. It might happen for you at some point. I don't know. Maybe they'll move it over. Man, what an amazing game. Like, the art is fantastic, and the cutscenes are anime done by Studio Ghibli, which is huge. It's like,
okay.
Yeah. Huge, huge, huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing game, and like, not only pretty, but a just well thought out game.
Sure.
Interesting mechanics.
Yeah. Another company I'll throw out here real quick, because I think you probably enjoy them too, even though they've only really made one series, is Denaton Games.
Oh, yeah?
Their work with the Hotline Miami series.
Yes, sir.
So far, that's the only two games that I know that they have released.
Same.
Hotline Miami 2 is essentially just an extension of Hotline Miami.
Right.
But what an experience that is.
Oh,
so yeah. I mean, I would be excited, and they're Swedish too, which is interesting.
It is.
I'd be excited to see them go a different direction.
See how they can flex their muscles.
Yeah.
What I loved about Hotline Miami, just seeing the praise of it for a second, is it's a shooter, but it's not a shooter. It's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game. Yeah. It's, you know, kind of along the lines of, like, you can say the Super Meat Boy is a platformer, but it's also not a platformer. It's like,
yeah,
it's kind of a puzzle game. You got to figure out the right route and the right timings, and that's what Hotline Miami did. I remember I played it on PS4, and the one of the trophies was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like, you get this trophy if you die 1,000 times. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the second trophy I got.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Love those games. I actually dressed up as one of the characters from that game.
Oh, you did. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed. Easy costume. It's chicken mask and a baseball hat.
And people thought you were...
Giant cock. Yeah. Or I was beating
the
cock.
Like, they were completely all beating the cock, yes. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't get you to know it. I don't expect you to know Hotline Miami, but...
It's the pictures that go on the internet that other people appreciate.
Exactly.
In that scenario. Hey, what else you got?
For me is Psyonix.
It's
Rocket League, right?
Yeah. And they've released a few other...
They have. Yeah, you know, Rocket League's kind of their magnum opus, and, you know, very...
Battle cars.
Yeah, rocket power battle cars or something, like that. Jet powered, maybe.
Sure.
Anyway, Rocket League. The thing that I like about them as a developer, like, they made a great game, still alive, still pumping out all sorts of content for it. What I liked about them as a developer is they really focused on what made the game fun and did that perfectly. It's a no-frills game. There's no, like, stupid paywalls. It's just, you go in there, you play the game. And it doesn't really matter what car you have, skin, hat, whatever. It's all the same.
Yep.
And I love a developer who does that. It doesn't split the player base between, you know, you've got this map, you've got this loadout, you've got this character. Exactly. It's just, here's a great game. And they just keep making it not better, really, just bigger.
Yeah. You know? Bigger,
it's like, let's add a map and whatnot.
Yeah,
so
they got the hoops thing going, which is fun.
There's little seasons like the hockey thing, and then adding the different arenas. So, I think as a developer, they just do it right.
Yeah, I agree. How long have they been around? Where are they from?
They're in L.A. or San Diego. Well, in California somewhere.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure when they started up.
Sure. I do really like those guys.
Agreed. Yeah. I think they do it right.
Here's one I think you appreciate is Edmund McMillan. Of course, he partnered with his buddy to make Super Meat Boy. But I think he deserves a lot of the credit for the art style.
Yeah. And the sensibilities. I think he's got an interesting... take on things.
He does. And if you've not watched it, you should watch what is it called?
Indie Games the movie. Yeah.
Really, really good. I feel like I got to know him pretty well through that.
Yeah.
And I followed
him. And he was the least, one of the least douchiest ones on there, in my opinion.
Yeah, douchey, I mean, and like just less neurotic in general. Like,
which is weird because his games are the weirdest by far.
Yeah.
But he seemed the most normal.
He seemed like the guy that, you know, if you
bumped into.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He just seems more like me than the rest of them.
For sure.
But he also has The Binding of Isaac. And I want to say, did he make Gish or something like that?
Maybe. He's made a bunch of little stuff, too.
He made a ton of Flash games.
Yeah.
A ton. If you go to his Wikipedia page, it scrolls for a while with just Adobe Flash games. But in terms of games that have released on you know, consoles,
major platforms,
and PC. It mainly revolves around Super Meat Boy iterations of that, and The Binding of Isaac and iterations of that.
Right.
But man, I'm so excited for anything else that he puts out.
Yeah.
It's because
I agree.
I love the art style.
They're supposed to release the
weird stories.
Ah, that one, the one with the crazy cat ladies. That was a game that they had announced, but never
Mugenics?
Came to fruition. Mugenics, that was it. Yeah, I don't know what ever happened to it.
On hold indefinitely.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Yeah. Makes me sad.
Yeah. What else you got?
What else I got? The next one up on me is Klei Entertainment, KLEI. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I've heard of them.
They are also some of those developers that just do things right in terms of making their games good and doing right by their consumer base. They made Don't Starve, and it's sort of, I guess, follow-up Don't Starve Together, which is a co-op version of Don't Starve.
Interesting.
Which, have you played that at all?
No.
Are you familiar with it at all?
I've seen like an image of it.
It's like a Tim Burton-esque 2D survival game where you just try to live.
Yeah.
And a great game, fun mechanics, fun art. And one of those things that, you know, they keep building on it, expanding it, and making it better. For years now, they've done that.
Okay.
Mark of the Ninja, which is probably the best 2D stealth game I've ever played. You play, obviously, as a ninja.
Yeah.
But, man, just fantastic platform, action, and, like, genuine stealth. It's like, you know, you can hide in doorway recesses and, you know, put out lights and, you know, it's just a true stealth game.
Top down?
No. 2D side scroller.
Cool.
Yeah. And then they followed that up with Invisible Ink, which is a great name. INC. Invisible Ink. Where you play, it's a turn-based, grid-based stealth game. It's pretty sweet.
Cool.
Check that out.
Another one for me is Way Forward Technologies.
Never heard of them.
They're kind of like your nostalgic drug dealer. They like made, you know, they worked on Contra 4, which was a handheld title. They worked on A Boy and His Blob, the remake for the modern consoles.
Okay.
They worked on Double Dragon Neon,
ooh,
an update for modern consoles, and they did DuckTales Remastered.
Oh, okay.
So they do take a lot of those old ideas and try to bring them to modern times. So,
yeah.
That's not all they do. They've done a lot of like, kid-oriented things, like some Transformers games, some SpongeBob games, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff I like from them is just them tickling the nostalgic spot.
Yep. Makes sense.
Oh, here's one that we both are going to like. Don't Nod.
Oh, yeah.
Made Remember Me, which I didn't play. Brian did. Did you play Remember Me?
I did not. And I wanted to. It looked interesting.
Yeah. He seemed to find it generally favorable. I think there was a few things he didn't like about it, but overall,
I feel like it's like a 7 is kind of what I put beside that game.
Yeah, that might have been what he gave it. And then, of course, the game we talked about for most of the summer, Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. Wow.
What an entry that was.
Yeah. And their follow-up is Vampyr.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah,
is or Vampyr.
Do you know if that's going to be a similar, like, episodic kind of thing?
No, I don't know if it's going to be episodic. I know it's a huge shift in mechanics from Life is Strange. Huge shift.
It seems it's something here, like...
he plays a vampire during the Black Plague or some shit.
Yeah, and I mean, I already see here it says melee and ranged weapons are employed while combating enemies, which is immediately nothing like Life is Strange.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, good for them for just...
Stretching it out a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks interesting. I'm afraid it's a little too generic to catch on.
Yeah, could be.
Afraid of it, but we'll see.
And Robot Entertainment is another one that I really enjoy. They made Age of Empires Online, which was really fun and addictive.
Is it basically just Age of Empires, but online?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Just making sure.
Some PvP with it.
Okay.
Didn't play a lot of that. I they have a campaign and stuff like that. It's good. But the two games from there, actually the only one that I've completed, but I really wanted to play the fucking second one, is Orcs Must Die.
Oh, yeah.
Orcs Must Die.
And this is a trap-based game, right? It's a lot of traps and shit.
Yeah. It's like tower defense, but first-person tower defense.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. When I first got my Xbox 360, it was kind of like I was kind of breaking into getting real into modern games.
Okay.
I didn't really know what was out there.
You get your Xbox 360 last year? I'm kidding.
2009.
2009.
2009. And I didn't know what was out there, but you know, I was like, man, this live arcade thing is really cool. There's a lot of cheap games on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what was going on, but I got lucky enough and downloaded Orcs Must Die, and I thought it was just the best shit.
Yeah.
Just the best shit. But it had no co-op. But Orcs Must Die 2 does.
Had that co-op.
And so I bought it for my buddy Josh as, you know, like a Steam sale, because it was only out on PC. They didn't release Orcs Must Die 2 on Xbox.
So. Same thing with Torchlight. Pisses me off.
Yeah, and I was really sad about that. But, you know, I bought it for him, and he, for some reason, his computer just won't play it. Like, it'll start the game, he'll show up, and then it'll crash. And I've been waiting for about 4 years to play this game with him. And I'm just going to have to buy him a computer, I guess.
I guess.
But I really do enjoy Robot Entertainment. If you've not played Orcs Must Die, man, you've got to play it. It's
also got a nice sense of humor about itself, too.
Really good sense of humor, mechanically sound, so fun. I would play through it again today. It's so good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What else? What else you...
I've got one here that'll tickle your fancy.
Oh, I love getting my fancy tickled.
This is Intelligent Systems. Now, this is probably not a name that you recognize. They do a lot of...
It's a very generic sounding name.
It is. They do a lot of contract work and work on games. Uh-huh. Some they develop completely.
Right. Okay, that's common.
They worked on Metroid.
Oh, the Ridge?
The Ridge.
Hard as a Rock.
They worked on Super Metroid.
I've done Split My Britches.
They also develop completely the Fire Emblem series.
Uh-huh.
Advance Wars.
Hard.
Paper Mario.
Oh, man.
WarioWare.
Like it.
Codename Steam, which is probably something you're unfamiliar with, but it's a Nintendo 3DS game.
Okay.
And the Pushmo / Stretchmo series.
What is Pushmo Stretchmo?
They're two different games, but they're in the same world. They're fun 3DS
like
games.
Sun and Moon?
They're like, no, I mean, it's like taking the same idea of a puzzle, but...
Reversing it or something?
You know, just kind of mixing up how you would solve it.
Sure, okay.
They're like $8 games, but they're critically acclaimed. People
love
these
games.
Well,
I do like Intelligent Systems.
Yeah, I knew you would. Yeah. And that's also, it brings up something a little bit, you know, when we were talking in the car on the ride that we took a while back about Advance Wars, it's like, you should play Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. Well, obviously,
yeah,
it's got the same lineage.
All right. Well, that's good. Good to know.
Yeah. So, Intelligent Systems, man, they've done a lot more than what I've got here.
Yeah.
But a lot of their stuff is, you know, Japanese only release. But, man, they've you know, been around forever.
Yeah.
And just still churning out amazing quality.
And you're right. They might be doing themselves a disservice by being so generic with their name.
Yeah.
But I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah.
From here on out. That sounds awesome.
So, here you go.
Are you familiar with Starbreeze Studios?
I am.
It sounds like a candy, but it's a company.
Or flavors of something.
Yeah, like a soap.
Maybe some kind of like, I don't know, air freshener.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like, I have my coconut, my cucumber melon, and my
Sandalwood.
Sandalwood, Starbreeze. Starbreeze Studios, man. They made Brother's Tale of Two Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Which, did you play that?
No, you know, and I need to.
You know, you should.
I know, I need to.
I very rarely sit my foot down and say, Jake, wake up.
play this game.
You should play that one.
And I own it on PC, so there's no excuse.
You also made The Darkness, a game I didn't play, but I think it's interesting.
Those games. Darkness is fun. That's the one you play as the mob boss. He gets in, you know,
but don't you think it's weird that they would make...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. They also, because I had originally written Payday 2 down.
Right.
A game I put a little bit of time into. It had its flaws, sure.
Yeah.
But it also had, I mean, I really like the idea of heisting with my bros.
Sure.
It was very hard. But they absorbed Overkill, which made that. But,
which is good, because Overkill sucked.
Overkill was not very good at its fans.
Yeah.
But Starbreeze absorbed them.
Now, they made a game that on the original Xbox.
Syndicate?
That I played. No.
No.
This is like the OG Xbox. So, like, we're talking, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, early mid.
Mm-hmm.
Called Enclave.
Oh, I don't know.
Very few people knew about this game, sadly. But it was, a fairly good critical hit. But it sort of puts me in mind of like a predecessor to Dark Souls.
Really?
It's very gothic, dark, heavy, medieval world. Melee combat with kind of like the, you know, I guess the holy trinity of dodge, attack, block. Mechanic.
Did you beat this game?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it
sounds difficult.
Very difficult. Yeah. And you know, we're running on original Xbox hardware, not the best running thing.
Sure.
But it's interesting because I always remembered that those people made Enclave, and Enclave is such a good game, and I knew it was a good game. I just knew I wasn't good enough to play it.
Nice.
But yeah.
So Starbreeze has been around a while?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Enclave was cool.
Well, so what are some other companies that you fancy there, buddy?
Another one that comes to mind is That Game Company.
Which one?
That Game Company.
Which one are you talking about?
That one. Yeah, that's what they call themselves, That Game Company. They've basically made three games at this point, but all three have been pretty damn successful. The first one was Flow. And this is something that I think was a PSN exclusive. It may be on PC. I don't think so. But they do have a close relationship with Sony, so that may be why it's a little out of your wheelhouse.
Sure.
They also made a game called Flower. I don't know if you're familiar
flow
with Flower.
Flow and Flower. It just seems like Flower. Like, it's just more Flow.
Flow 2, Flower. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. But Flower is an interesting game because it's not really a game, but it's also very gamey at the same time. You play as a breeze for the most part, and you're trying to just get the flowers in this field to bloom.
Okay.
It's really neat. It's really neat.
So
you kind of have to see it.
Flower bits with your wind tentacles.
A lot of it. Yeah. And it's very pretty and serene and peaceful, but at the same time challenging. And they do a good job of bringing in some darkness and some adversity in this scenario, which is really interesting because it's a super artsy game and it's super highbrow. And I think a lot of like hardcore gamers think it's like, you know, super hipster and shit, but it won a lot of awards for like interactive design and art design and things like that. Cause it's very relaxing and peaceful. But at the same time, not just, for lack of a better term, a breeze. You do have to put some effort into it. So, and then they also made Journey, which I don't really need to sing the praises
to say
of that.
That it sounds Journey-esque, yeah. Like just in terms of the whimsical nature,
right?
And probably has no dialogue in it,
none.
So yeah,
not a drip.
Well,
but
that's neat.
Yeah,
what was the name of this?
That game company.
That game company.
It's all
that's the
one word.
That's right.
That game company.
Oh, it's one word.
Yeah.
So everybody, make sure you tailor your Google searches to no spaces with that game company. For me, it's one that I've brought up a lot on this show because I've played a number of their games over the last year.
Quintet.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the mysterious thing about Quintet.
What's that?
There is a line, actually, on their Wikipedia page that says the current status of Quintet is unclear, but it is believed that it went defunct around 2000 to 2002. Isn't that weird?
How no one knows
that? Like 15 years ago, you don't know if a company exists or not. Like some like it's weird.
It's like the shadow government took
exactly.
it over.
Exactly. Isn't it weird?
Yeah,
I think it's weird.
That's
but
weird.
Man, they made some games that I absolutely adore. Number one, ActRaiser.
What an interesting game.
What an awesome.
And
I think
we've talked about this before.
I think I played it while we've done the podcast.
Yeah,
but
it's
man.
Just for so out of its time.
Yeah, it,
ahead
it's
of its
so
time.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. But unfortunately, ActRaiser 2, they brought it over. They didn't. They thought the top down kind of management thing was not was too intelligent for Western audiences. So they took it out and just made this really hard side scrolling action game that is just. It's. I actually tried to. I put it in the other night just to see.
No go.
Man, I couldn't get anywhere. It's really really difficult. But they also made Soul Blazer.
Oh.
So as it stands today, in terms of games that I've played and beaten, Soul Blazer is probably my favorite Super Nintendo game.
Oh, shit.
And now, that said, I've not gone through Chrono Trigger. I've not gone through Earthbound. I've not gone through a lot of those other
types. You have to qualify the statements. But
right now,
that's
the
fine.
Games that I've beaten,
yeah.
I really enjoy Soul Blazer. And I think it's super, super underrated. Illusion of Gaia, another game very akin. I would call it Soul Blazer's sister,
okay.
But it's not quite as good.
Right.
But it's still solid.
Okay.
Made Robotrek and Terranigma. I want to say one of those, at least, was Japanese only. I think it was Terranigma. Yeah, Terranigma was Japanese only, but also very good and very difficult to get your hands on.
Gotcha.
And one that I would really enjoy to have in my collection and play.
Was it localized at all for Western audiences?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
I don't think so. They made a few other games that are part of what they call the Quintet series, the Grand Stream Saga, and a couple more. But another one of their credits that I'm sure they are proud of is they did development support on the original Shinmu.
Oh, yeah.
And which is a marvel of its time. Whether or not you like it or not, the game is impressive.
Agreed.
And they did work on that, and then evidently disappeared thereafter. Swallowed up by the Kraken.
Mm.
So that's very disappointing.
Maybe they crashed with the Dreamcast.
And I want to say, this here it says the director and president of Quintet at the time, well, it says is, but who knows now, Tomoyoshi Miyazaki, was the scenario writer for the first three entries of the Ease series.
Oh, okay.
So they have a lot of lineage in games all through. So a company that you can't keep track of anymore because they're defunct, but if you mainly on the Super Nintendo, if you see a Quintet, you know,
probably
logo,
quality.
Dude, please get it. It's they're very,
right
very underrated, very good stuff.
Right on.
What else do you got?
The last one I have is one that you may have heard of, still kind of underrated in my opinion. That's Platinum Games.
Yeah, now I've heard of this. Yeah,
I'm sure you have. Mm-hmm. They did Bayonetta 2,
mm-hmm.
which Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive. Go figure.
Yeah.
They also did Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which a lot of people, you know, is obviously not a true Metal Gear Solid entry, but a lot of people really like the game.
Not a solid entry.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's more of a rising entry. They did Transformers Devastation, which is a game that I have, just haven't played yet, but I heard good things about. They did the Turtles, the recent Turtles game, which kind of got meh.
I was going to say, so is this the Transformers game that, I mean, it seems somewhat cell-shaded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is like not that. Yeah, people like that. I really like all the Transformers games that I've played. I did not play Rise of the Dark Park because I heard it was shit, but War for Cybertron.
Did Platinum make that one as well?
No.
Okay.
No, it was different. That was High Moon, which High Moon did... They do amazing license work. I really don't know why they don't do more. I think they got maybe absorbed by Red Storm or Ubisoft or somebody. Right. Anyway, High Moon Studios did great stuff. Anyway, this is Platinum. They did this game.
The Transformers game.
Transformers Devastation.
But the Turtles game that they put out recently.
Yeah, Manhattan something. Good. Something Manhattan. I don't remember.
Either way, not...
Yeah, not as good. Not quality.
Not strong release.
They did Star Fox Zero. Also not a strong release, but not a bad game. Just too simple from what I've heard.
Too simple and I think a little unwieldy with controls.
Okay.
But that could be blamed on Nintendo hardware.
Could be.
Being
They did scale... Or they're working on Scalebound.
A game that I've been back and forth on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love it or hate it.
Time will tell. I'm excited to see what becomes of it. Mm-hmm. And another one that they're working on is Nier Automata. I don't know if you ever played Nier on PlayStation.
I've heard of Nier. Yeah.
What an interesting game.
Describe Nier. Perhaps I have.
I can't
partake.
I really cannot.
Okay.
Aside from the fact, I can probably loosely put a framework around it. It's semi-open world. It feels very much like a Metal Gear game in terms of abstract story and characters. Like it just throws you in the middle of something.
What does it look like graphically?
It looks like a Metal Gear game. Oh, I mean, so not as pretty as a Fox Engine game.
It's first person.
No.
Or
no, third person.
Third person.
Third person.
Whatever. But it's not a 2D...
No.
Okay. No. I must be thinking of something else then.
Yeah. This was on PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Exclusively.
Sure.
After this episode, I'll play the opening cinematic for you. Because it's awesome. And if you're listening or watching, you should also watch this.
Google.
The Nier. Not Automata. That one's not out yet, but just the first one. They developed the criminally underrated... Vanquish on PS3.
Must be underrated.
Yeah, very underrated. But it's a cover. I mean, it's almost like it could have been the Gears of War for the PlayStation ecosystem. Like it was cover based, not really class based, but you had different like options, like depending on how you wanted to play. Like you could play different styles. It was set in like this really robotic kind of mechanized world. Really pretty, really flashy, as kind of Platinum Games is known to be, like Bayonetta and all that, like really flashy. But man, a lot of fun, just didn't take off, but it really could have been something.
Cool.
So,
good to know.
Platinum Games. If I see that name, I take notice.
Sure.
It doesn't mean I'm always going to get quality, but I'm like, they've made some really good shit.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I want to check it out.
Here's one that I was actually, I've known about.
Mm-hmm.
But looking through their credits, I was surprised to see some of the games on their list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Monolith, which is essentially a giant rock.
Right.
But in this case, it's a company that makes games.
It's like an obelisk to be.
Sure. Have you ever played any of The Fears?
No, and it's because I'm a giant...
Pickle? No?
Wussy.
They're not scary, didn't think.
Okay.
What I really found about the first one was it was a lot of fun, but they just reused the same offices over and over again. You're just running through an office building. Sometimes the offices are arranged this way. Sometimes they're arranged this way.
It's just like life, man. Yeah. Working in one office, you worked in them all.
Exactly. Fear and Fear 2. I don't believe there was a Fear 3. I don't know.
There was.
I don't know that they had a hand in that one.
Did they do the Stalker games?
Stalker games. Now, I don't know.
Because I feel like it's almost the same style.
They did not.
In Pripyat.
They did not, according to this. And it looks like they also did not work on Fear 3.
Oh, interesting.
They did Fear and Fear 2, which is Project Origin. And they have a thing with Origins, because they made Condemned Criminal Origins.
Mm.
And they also made Condemned 2 Bloodshot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a pair of games that I've played over the last year with Brian.
Yeah.
They're good couch co-op with a strong bro, because they're pretty scary.
They are pretty jumpy.
And I enjoyed them both. They're not the greatest games, but I really think they're made better with a buddy. I really do. There's some games that you just won't make it through without a friend.
It's like a scary movie. Like, if you sit and watch a scary movie by yourself, it's like, Meh.
Exactly.
But if you watch it with a room full of people or at least somebody else,
you can kind
of
get into it.
You can like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think Condemned was like that. On top of it, I think overall, it had some frustrating parts to it, which made handing the controller off just desired. You're just like, oh, please just take
Thank
it. Just
God.
Get through this.
Someone please fix this. Yeah.
And then on top of that, I mean, it's a little creepy. You can get so tense that you need to watch somebody else do it for a while. So yeah, I really enjoyed my time with those. Those I did Gotham City Imposters, Guardians of Middle Earth, and then the most recent one, which was a huge hit. No, I don't think anybody saw it coming, was Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, agreed. No one knew this was happening.
Yeah, and they also didn't know that you could make a Lord of the Rings licensed game still good today.
It's so weird, you know. I mean, because this game, you know, this is close to 15 years after the first movie came out.
Right.
You know, 10 to 12 after the last movie came out. And maybe The Hobbit being around helped a little bit. I doubt it, because those movies sucked balls.
Yeah, they sucked.
But I will say that I was extremely surprised by this game because it felt like the perfect marriage between Assassin's Creed, the good parts of Assassin's Creed,
right,
and a Batman Arkham game. And it had that nemesis system, which was just baller. Really, really cool world. And got to kind of.
And don't get me wrong, they have some stinkers
in
their
catalog.
But
if you do enough, you're gonna do some shit.
In the last 10 years, all the games that they've released have been fairly solid entries. Matrix Online, which I don't know about, but
no one does.
Fear, Condemned 2, Fear 2, Gotham City Imposters, Guardians of Middle Earth, and Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. Those are all games that I think most people have played.
Yeah, yeah. Gotham City Imposters was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's like Team Fortress, you know, just with Batman.
It didn't get great reviews, but it's okay. So yeah, those are some companies to pay attention to, man.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we did that. That was a fun.
It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, actually. I mean, you know, we shared a lot. You know, Don't Nod and Super Giant and Psionics. Those are all ones that we both really enjoy. But
learned a little bit. Intelligent.
Doing some of this research has really kind of motivated me. Like, you know, I didn't know who WayForward Technologies were until I went through this, and I was like, look at all the games that these guys have made.
Exactly.
And so now I'll have my eyes peeled for, you know, when their little logo pops up, I'll be like, oh, okay, I know these guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was a great exercise, man. I'm glad we did it.
Awesome sauce.
And so tip of the hat to those companies.
Absolutely.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving. Also in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I'll tip my hat to, we should do a Thanksgiving hat tipping.
Let's do it.
I'm going to give thanks to my wife who is very understanding. She goes with the flow in terms of the amount of time I put in the games, the amount of room I take up with games.
You do take up a lot of room with games.
and everything else surrounding my life with games, she really understands. She gifts me things that are gaming related. Mm. It's all a big game in this household.
She yard sales for you?
She does. She you know, if I'm too lazy to get up and she goes, you want to go yard sale? And I go, wow. She might come back with games.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So, that's love her to death, and that's my tip of the cap this Thanksgiving holiday season.
Right on.
Do you have a tip of the cap? Would you like to thank anybody?
In particular, I mean, my wife's also very understanding. She doesn't...
So you're just going to steal mine?
No, I'm just going to just make sure that it doesn't seem like an obvious omission that he didn't...
Jake doesn't love his wife.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. yeah, it's kind of weird. To say this, because I think a lot of people are probably have the opposite opinion, and for various reasons, but I am thankful for DLC. And this is a weird thing to say, but you know, growing up, you bought a game,
that's all you got.
Out of the box. It's all you got. If it was broken, it was broken.
Yeah.
Tough shit. Once you made that initial investment, that's all you got out of the game. No matter how much more you wanted, you had to wait years for the sequel, and it was probably going to be crap. DLC, you know, people complain about it, and yeah, there's some bad models out there. But the fact that a game can be fixed after it's released, the fact that they can add things, take away bad things, and expand upon something that I already love, I find that amazing.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
It really is. It's amazing. Huh. And also thankful for big hard drives.
big hard drives, yeah. DLC, my wife, and that's about it. All right.
That's what I got.
Well, thank you guys for joining us and taking in episode 29, no matter how you took it in, whether you did it over the old audio-only method or checked us out on YouTube.
You should do that. We do stuff on YouTube.
We put these on YouTube. You can actually see our faces while we're talking. If that is something that is important to you, I suggest you go check it out.
Yeah, boy.
You can follow us on Twitter at Polykill, or individually at Trav Plays Games and at the McAxel.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I completely lost where you were. I didn't know.
Didn't know your own name. That's the same on Instagram. Yeah. Facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Rate us on iTunes. Please, God, please. And go to polykill.com where we've had another feller wants to write some articles for us. We'll put those up there.
Yeah, boy.
All of our articles are there. All of our videos are there. All of our podcasts are there. Everything is there. Pictures are there. Everything is there. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you episode 30.
Yeah, coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
All right, we'll see you guys then.
Peace out.